Okay, put them down. How many of you read your Bible every day? Don't lie. Hey, let's read our Bibles. Let's bring our Bibles to church. This is our weapon. This is what we use against the devil. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody in church today. I just wanted to check up on your Bibles. And turn in your Bible this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We serve a great God, folks. We serve a God that loves us. It's going to be a pitiful day, all the people in the world that don't have time for God. We've got a lot of people parading around today that think they're so important. Going to be disappointed one day. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that's talking about all of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let that sink in. Do I need to read that again? For I say, through the grace given unto me, it's by the grace of God we had this information, folks. To every man that is among you, that's every person everywhere. He's talking to the church at Rome, to believers now, talking to believers, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I hope you'll underline that verse in your Bible. We're living in a proud age today, folks. May we go before the throne of God, loving God our Father. May we be wise enough to be a humble people, realizing that we're just a race of sinners that was separated from God, except you sent your Son to rescue us. And that by faith in Jesus Christ alone, is there any hope for any man anywhere? And you save us by faith. But when you save us by faith, you tell us to have works. We're to work serving you. We just read that from our scripture by Brother Johnny a while ago. We're saved by faith. But if we have faith, it produces works that please you and honor you, that we live a godly life, a life for the glory of God, denying self and enjoying serving the Lord. Lord, I'm a little preacher. Help me, Lord, to encourage this body of believers, to challenge this body of believers, to encourage this body of believers, Lord, and bless this precious family we're going to be baptizing, Lord. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for their love we see in them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending them our way. Thank you for sending Miss Karen today, Lord. Bless her. Encourage her, Lord. She needs you, Lord. You know about her, Lord. Have mercy on all. We got people in our congregation that's kind of feeble, Lord. Remember them. Help them to just lean on you, Lord. We got people with problems and struggles and concerns, Lord. Lord, help them to lay their burdens upon you, Lord, because you say in your word you care You care for them. Help me now to open your word and share it, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse that we've just read is a verse to caution us against pride, to caution us against pride. We're living in a proud age. I noticed I couldn't bear but 2 or 3 minutes of it the other day when they were having these people that's running for the president. And their debate the other day, I stomached 2 or 3 minutes of it. There's so much pride there. They think they got all the answers. Pride is a thing God Almighty hates with a passion, folks. What have you got to be proud of today? What have you got to be proud of? God Almighty owns the clothes on your back. God Almighty owns the air you just sucked in. We don't have a thing to be proud about. We've sinned against our Creator. We were the enemies of God till He reconciled us by faith. Forgave us because of what Jesus Christ did. Folks, we don't have a thing to be proud of. And so we've just read a verse of Scripture today that I've been thinking about for some time. And Paul says, it's for every one of us not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. You think you got it together? You hadn't. It's not a one of us in this building today that doesn't need God Almighty every second. We need Him every second, folks. There's not a one in this building that God doesn't love so much that He died to save you. Every one of us. We're to think soberly, the Bible says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We should remember that the gifts, the abilities, the light, the knowledge that we have is not of ourselves, but comes from God. God give us our talents, our abilities. I got a little niece that's in her 50s now. You know, she's never walked a step in her life. She's not much bigger than that little baby over there. She's some bigger than it, but not a whole lot. And she's in her 50s. But she's as smart and intelligent as anybody in this building, maybe even more so. She loves the Lord. We could all been in a hospital bed all of our life. She's been in a hospital bed all of her life. She don't know what it is. They used to bring her out here in a wheelchair, but she got so feeble, she can't be picked up. They can't even pick her up to take her to the doctor. The doctor has to go there. But she loves the Lord. She knows the Lord. And so, folks, let's don't ever think that I've got it together, that I'm better than so-and-so, that I deserve more than so-and-so. Who said so? Only pride says so. And God hates it. God hates it. C.S. Lewis used to be an atheist. He decided one day, I'm going to prove this Bible ain't true. And so he got to reading and studying it. You know what happened? He got saved. The Word of God, if you'll get into it, will save you. He got saved. And here's what he said. C.S. Lewis rightly defined humility not as thinking less of yourself, but as thinking of yourself less. Can I read that again to you to get it right? Listen attentively to what I'm saying. He said, rightly defined, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Don't think you are no good, nobody. But as of thinking of yourself less. We have a problem that exists with too many today in our society. I want you to turn in your Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Now this is to happen in the future during the tribulation time. This hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. In Revelation chapter 6, look down at verse 15. When the seal judgments are being opened up and the wrath of God is coming on the world after the church is raptured out, that is, all saved people are took to heaven. Listen, I want you to notice this. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. We're talking about the leaders, the big shots, the people with power, the people that think they're important. The Bible says that they hid themselves in the dens in the mountains. And look at verse 16. Now they start praying at last. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand? Too late. Proud men will realize their doom. Now, they were somebody they thought at one time. But God says the day's coming when people that are full of pride are going to be brought low. Going to be brought low. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, Isaiah wrote, for thou hast said in thine heart, Lucifer, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Notice how many times he said I. He had an eye problem. A lot of people got an eye problem. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Better be careful. Better be careful. We're talking about the man who was the most beautiful of all God's angelic creatures, who was given the most power, and he still wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be God and thought he could take God off the throne and he's going to be God. But he made a mistake. He tried it against God. Amen. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High, Lucifer said. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the north. And so Lucifer was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels, it's thought, known now as the fallen angels, maybe many of the demons that possess people today, was the crowd that followed Lucifer. And now he's known as Satan or the devil. This was the beginning of sin. Sin started in heaven, folks. Did you know that? It is the I am better than you syndrome. Lucifer had it. Did it pay off for Lucifer? No. You know what? Even the lake of fire was made for the devil and his angels. Wasn't made for man. But many men and women will go there because they refuse to serve God. They're stuck on their self. They got the, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Well, God will let you for so long, and then after a while, it's kind of like our Sunday school lesson today. Sin catches up. Sin catches up. We got this idea, I'm more deserving than you are. Now sin has also deceived the entire human family. Even the disciples of the Lord had a case of it. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 23:11-12, but he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. You want to be great in the sight of God? Be a servant. You know, it's going to be surprising when we get to heaven. It's the servants down here that's going to be exalted in heaven, folks. It ain't going to be the people at the top. Jesus has already said the last, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:11-12. God's looking for people that serve. Serve. That will serve with humility. That don't think they're better than everybody else. We have a mother in the scriptures who thought the same way. A mom. Thought the same way, brother. You're running ahead of me, aren't you? Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, that's James and John, with her sons. She brought her sons, worshiping the Lord. Boy, that's something, worshiping the Lord, but she's a wanting something out of the ordinary. And desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she saith unto him, grant that my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She wanted to get her foot in the door before anybody else. Lord, I think my two sons ought to sit side of you in your kingdom. Now let's remember what she's talking about and what he's talking about. Christ is going to have a 1,000-year kingdom one day. It's going to be a real paradise for 1,000 years, no war. And peace and prosperity is going to be like the world has never known. And she said, Lord, I want my two boys to sit next to you. My two boys are, I mean, they deserve it, Lord. They're my boys. Jesus told her that was not for him to give. It's going to be for the one that deserves to be there. I tell you, folks, there's a lot of people think they're more important than you are. But if you want to be important in the sight of God, you better walk humble. You better be a nobody. God hates pride. God hates pride. Too many people think they deserve something better or something more. If there's one thing God hates, it's pride. I don't have time to go there today, but in Proverbs, there's a list of sins. And you know what the top sin was that God hates? Pride. We're in a proud age, folks. I'm better than you are. I deserve more than you. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, in Proverbs 16 and 18. People that's full of pride, they're going for a mighty fall one day. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5 and 6, listen to this. Maybe you ought to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter 5, 6, because it's one of my favorite verses, folks. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves. Did you know you can humble yourself if you wanted to? You don't have to be all puffed up, think you're something special, because of what talent or ability you got, and so-so don't have that. Well, God gave them something else, folks. And God says in His Word, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He can exalt you in due time. If we'll be humble people, if we'll take the low road, at the right time, God will exalt us. Now, you can't tell God when to exalt you. God might wait to exalt you when you get to heaven. Amen? The point being, humble yourself in this life. Be a servant. Serve others. I'm working my wife out. I say, honey, get me a cup of coffee. Honey, got anything to eat? I get her to serve. Amen. God wants us to be servants. And we're to humble ourselves. Don't be too good to think you can't clean out the toilets. I've done that. What makes you so special that over your fellow man? God's looking to promote you now. And if you want to be promoted by God, you got to go down. Humble yourself. I'll guarantee you, if you'll go through this holy book here and look at the people God used, every one of them was humble except one that I can think of. And God humbled him. Amen? Boy, he put it on him. The Apostle Paul thought he had his act together, but God had a better act. God's looking for humble people. I don't like to call and point out people. I'm going to do that right now. Thomas, I just love your humble spirit, son. You're just the most humble. He's like a big teddy bear, folks. He's just such a humble boy. I love him. He don't put on a bit of airs, folks. If y'all have watched Thomas, Thomas listened to us on the radio out at the bus center where they repair buses. And I've told you about the guy at Carolina Packhouse. He listens to us on his John Deere tractor out in the field. Be humble. These people are noticing your attitude and how you treat people. I hadn't got it together, and you hadn't either. Be humble. You'll get God's favor. You'll get God's favor. When people exalt themselves, in the end, it may not turn out so well. Just like we read in Revelation a while ago. All these people were the important people in the world. And what happened to them? They had no Savior. They had God against them. And they were praying for the rocks to fall on them and kill them. They were so stupid and ignorant, they didn't know when they died they were going to fall into hell. Ain't that something? You know what I think about? I watch Gunsmoke sometimes. Usually I'll turn to watch Gunsmoke most of the time at the last 10 minutes to see them get the crooks. You know how that's going to be. And I see old Dylan or somebody kill the crooks. And you know, it looks like that solved the problem. The old crooks are dead. But you know what I think's about as a preacher? They're not dead. The truth is, in real life, when that happens, they probably go to hell. Right then. When I watch movies, whatever it is, if I have time, and people die, that's what goes to my mind. Where do they go? Why can someone think they're better or more deserving than somebody else? I'm not talking about someone who works hard and accumulates things. I'm not talking about that. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to work hard. We're supposed to have enough to take care of our need. That's right. But we're not supposed to support those that's lazy and sorry and won't work. God even said, if you don't work, don't eat. I mean, that's in the book. You think of the people that's being fed by this government, by our tax money, there are people that won't work. It's a sin, folks. And it's wrong. And they're going to answer to God one day. They're going to answer to God. Did you know Jesus Christ died for every person? Even for them that won't work? Even for them that's in the penitentiary, Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus Christ loves every person. Jesus Christ loves every person as much as he loves you and me. Jesus Christ has a plan and a purpose for every person. That little baby over there getting a nap. God's got a plan for that child. And you know what that child needs more than anything right now? More than its very food? It needs to be raised up to know the Lord. And you know something else? Mom and Dad? Mom and Dad's here with children? God's going to hold you accountable to have them youngins in church. God's going to hold you accountable to have them in church to be taught the Word of God. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus Christ wants everyone to be saved, but people have to humble themselves. Humble themselves. We are God's people, and we're supposed to be praying. Working to accomplish God's work in this world. That's the great commission to all of us that's been saved. God, we are the tools that God wants to use. You are the tool that God wants to use. I want you to let that soak into your mind this morning. If you're not willing to be used, who's God going to use? It might inconvenience you to be used. But so what? That's called sacrificing. We're supposed to sacrifice for the Lord and not complain about it. If there's anything God hates besides pride, it's complaining. You're a tool God wants to use. If He uses you, He'll bless you. His blessings are not always material things. One of His greatest blessings is the fact that you begin to learn His word and to be a usable person. Many people need a change of attitude in our world today. Have you ever worked in a place where there are those there that's pushy? You ever worked in an office or a place where somebody's pushy? They're trying to make you look bad. They're better than you. They'll undermine. They'll fib. They'll try to make others look inferior so they can get a promotion. That's going on all the time in these workplaces, folks. I've worked in the offices, in the plants. I know what it's like. These kind of people think they're smart when they do this. Boy, I outsmarted them. Hey, they ain't got to the end of the row yet. You got to get to the end of the row before you find out how smart you are. They're not pleasing God at all. I was working in the office, and there was a cutback in our department when I worked in the lab. In fact, I didn't even know what was going on. I was in the dark. By the way, I was busy working, amen. But one day, one who had more seniority than me in that office was suddenly missing. They'd been sent to another place, much to their displeasure. And I was left still doing my job. I was still working. This party got so upset about this. Oh, they were so mad. I didn't have nothing to do with it. But you know, the Lord worked that thing out. What I'm trying to say is, folks, you ain't got to try to outsmart somebody on the job. You just be faithful to do what you're supposed to do. And God will exalt you at the right time in the right way, and you won't have no bad feelings about it. I'm telling you, we're serving a God that's real. We're serving a God that's noticing us, looking after us. And He's telling us how to live in this old book. But if you don't get in this book, and if you don't hear this book, you're going to live a way that displeases God. And you're going to come out on the short end of the stick before it's over with. Just telling you like it is. Later on, I was offered a supervisor position if I wanted it. I told, no, I didn't want no supervisor job. It would affect my work that God had already given me. If there's anything we believers need, is to learn God will put you where He wants you. And you do not have to push and shove to get where you want to go. We saw that in our Sunday school lesson the last several weeks. This couple wanted a child, but they went about it the wrong way. And look at the problems that it caused. And you know what about those problems? That was 2,000 years ago that took place, and it's a big problem today because of that situation 2,000 years ago that we're studying about in our Sunday school lesson. We need to learn to wait on God. Learning to wait on God is the best policy for all of us to take. I look back when I first started trying to preach, still trying. And although it was slow at first, I was in school trying to get a little education, working, supplying for some other pastors. And then, without me being aware, what was really going on was God opened a door for us to have a radio ministry. I'd never thought no such thing in all my life. My pastor had moved to Virginia. He had started a radio program there in Red Springs, 5 days a week. Some of the people in our church come to me. I had been licensed to preach. And they said, Bramer, that'd be good experience for you. Boy, did I need experience, didn't I? So things worked out. I don't know how they worked out, but it worked out. We got on that radio station. You know what? This past April makes 47 years. We've been in radio 5 and 6 days a week. I didn't plan all that. God did the same thing with our television ministry. I didn't plan any of this. My point is this, folks. Just serve the Lord. Make yourself available, and God will put you where He wants you. Today we got this church. God put it on my heart. Have a church. And I used to ride through the community crying, begging God, where did I put a church at? He brought us right here. Been here some 35 years or so. God just keeps making a way. God just keeps making a way. Waiting on Him, trusting Him. I come to church every Sunday expecting a big crowd to just come rushing in and fill up every pew. I expect that every Sunday. It don't ever happen, but next Sunday I'll be looking for that to happen. Amen. I'm living by faith, folks. I'm living by faith. The Bible says in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say on the Lord. I tell you what, my nature is not to wait. I'm a hurry up type guy. But it's best to wait on the Lord. Learn to wait on the Lord. Is this a missing need we have today in our society? Are we waiting on the Lord? I'm afraid too many are not. We're living in a fast-paced society today, folks. Faye and I was coming down 211 while I go to church. And this car, I was driving 57, 58. This car was on my bumper with some Nissan on my bumper. Go on, go on, go on. where they couldn't pass because of incoming traffic. Finally, right up there about the old plantation, old Southern plantation up there, they finally got it clearing. You know what? They just went a little piece and then slowed down and turned off. I face this every day of my life. We got this other crowd. They're pushing you. And then the record, they swing out on the right. And they come up there, pull in front of you all of a sudden, turn the signal on, and go over in the next lane and turn off. Well, they were almost steady. Why didn't they just pull out behind me and pull off? No, I got to go past you and slow you down and make me, I could eat bananas. I could eat a banana, amen. It's every day now, folks. My youngest brother down in Sumter, South Carolina, called me this week with his heart broke. He had a truck about 22 years. He just got it painted, $2,300, new paint job, red as blood. Put new seat covers in it. He just loved that old truck. He went to the doctor, or coming from the doctor, I don't know which it was. And the taxi cab run the red light and totaled his truck. He won't get nothing out of that truck. But that truck was important to that young'un. It was in tip-top shape. It was like a new one. Somebody in a hurry broke the red, run the red light. I could eat a banana, amen. Yeah, we live today in the instant generation. We want it now. When I was growing up, we used to rake and scrape to make it. I was thinking about this week. Faye said, I need to go to the grocery store. You know, almost every day we need to go to the grocery store. I'm not lying. When I was raised on that little tenant farm over yonder, Daddy went to town about twice a year. How did we get that by with that Brother Chaffetz? He'd hitch up the mule and wagon and he'd go to town about twice a year. Now we have to go every day. We're out of something. I'm out of milk, by the way. And my cornflakes is about gone. Today's generation wants it right now. They want it right now. In fact, the current people running for the president are saying, I'll give you free college education. I'll pay off your college bill. That's what the current Democrat people that wants to be president are saying. They're promising this. I'll give you free health care. They ain't giving me mine. I even got a drug plan, and I'm paying for prescriptions that I thought the drug plan would pay for. But they won't pay for that. We got a messed up system, folks. These Democrats are saying, I'll give you a good paying job if you make me president. I'll let others pay things for you. You know, we got a lot of people that's going to vote for them because they want everything give to them. But I tell you what, when I grew up on that old tenant farm, nobody give us nothing. Only thing we ever had was dirt and grass, amen? You see how people can think because of a certain position they have that they should also get a higher position because of who they are. I'm a senator. I'm a House representative. I'm a lawyer. I'm a so-and-so. I deserve to be president. Brother Chavis, why don't you run for president, son? Somebody got sense. Amen? Mr. Chavis, you could straighten them out because you got a lot of experience with all them houses you got. Amen? The Bible says in James 4:10, listen to this. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Folks, don't y'all forget this sermon. Humble yourself. Be a humble people. That's what God wants out of you and me. Be humble. Don't put on no airs. Our thinking today is what I deserve. I ought to have this. The truth is, we think we're better off, better than someone else, don't we? Think about them poor people over yonder in Alabama now. It wasn't long ago that we had it over here, didn't we? You know how it was over here? You know how much you need to pray when you're over here and the water's over here? Think about them people. Pray for them people. Philippians 2:21. For all, listen to this verse. Make sure you mark this verse in your Bible. I'm just giving you the plain word of God, folks. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. We're living today thinking about what I want. Thinking what's best for me. The Word of God says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus's. We got a church. We're the church. We're supposed to put Jesus Christ first. We got to learn to sacrifice. Make time for the Lord. Is anybody listening to me this morning? We got to learn to make time for the Lord. We're supposed to be servants of the Lord. The truth is, Jesus wants us to be a humble people. I know somebody right now I could call day or night and they'd respond to my call. One person I know. I'm not talking about anybody kin to me now. I know my brother back there would, but I'm not counting my brothers or kin. But I know somebody and they wouldn't gripe about it. We all need to be like that, folks. Moses was the meekest man of his day, the Bible says. Meek. A man of humility. And out of all the people, God chose him because he was a meek man. He didn't put on no airs. Jesus Christ was the meekest of all men, though. Did anybody ever come to Jesus and he refused them? No. He always was available to help people. The world of people and the unsaved are not going to be humble. You just want to face that. They're going to be trying to get all they can, even if it hurts you. You're not important if you are in their way. But Jesus is calling us to promote him and his work. We're to promote him and his work. Do you know of any work any more important than the Lord's work? You don't know anybody, no employer anywhere that'll reward you more for working for them than Jesus Christ. Now, he might not give you a whole lot in this life to put in the bank. The churches promise spiritual blessings, not material blessings. God promised Israel material blessings. They look for material blessings. But God didn't say that about the church. I don't have time to go to it, but God says in Ephesians that we're to receive spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. So you can serve God. Promote the work of God. We need Christians today who are humble and mindful of other people's and other people's needs. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That ought to be our motto, folks, as a church, as members of the church. I can do all things. I can do. I told the Lord when he was dealing with me about preaching, Lord, I can't be no preacher. Lord, I'll do anything, but I ain't going to be no preacher. That ain't what God's looking for. Sarah couldn't have a young'un, but God made her have a young'un. Somehow God's made me a preacher. And I wouldn't trade places with nobody in the world. Because I know the Lord. He's real. He's wonderful. I delight to serve him. And if we'll humble ourselves and just throw ourselves on him, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's no telling what he'll do with your life. Remember, the same God that made you made other people too. And every one of us was made in the likeness and image of our God. So why should I think I deserve more or that I'm better than someone else? It's not your money God wants. God don't want your money. Besides, you don't have any. The Bible says all money is God's. God said, I own the silver and the gold. It's not your talents and abilities God wants. What God wants, are you ready for this? Perk up, listen to me. Everybody's asleep now, wake up. Here's what God wants. Ready? He wants you. He wants you. Giving yourself to him. You'd be amazed what he'll do. Turn to James chapter 2. And we'll close. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Humility will get God's favor, folks. James chapter 2, look down at verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Wow, what a verse of scripture, folks. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, listen to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. Underline that in your Bible or mark it. If ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. God's looking for people of humility. People that sees other people as needing the Lord. And that we're trying to be a blessing to people. If you'll learn to wait on the Lord, learn to wait on the Lord, walk humbly before the Lord will make your life have meaning and purpose, and you'll have peace, and you'll be just so blessed at how God will use you. May we pray together. Loving God, thank you for this time, for allowing me one more time, Lord, to stand here and open up this, your word, and share with this congregation of people. I pray that all have been saved by the grace of God. If should there be one here without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray for their salvation. And help us all, Lord, to see who we are in your sight. We're nothing without your salvation. And that you've called us to be like children, loving and serving you and our fellow man. And I thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Our altar call today, you want to come pray for somebody? You want to come and ask the Lord to work in your life? Submit yourself to the Lord, whatever.